Let's open our Bible this morning to the Gospel of John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. I'm entitling this series of messages, Closer. And a very important comment that I'll make at the outset of the message is, do you realize that you and I are as close to Jesus Christ as we choose to be? We are as close to Christ as we choose to be, not as he wants us to be. Because how close would we be to Christ if we all were as close as he wanted us to be? We'd all be tight, wouldn't we? But he leaves that choice up to us. How close do we want to be to him? And that is, there are five circles of followers. You know, one of Jesus' first commands to the people, to the masses, was what two-word command did he give them? Follow me. Right? He said, follow me. And so we're going to see that a lot of people followed him. Now, as we're going to discover this morning, some people followed him for all the wrong reasons. Alrighty. Well, about 4 years ago, I was on an airplane on a flight from Minneapolis, St. Paul to Peoria, Illinois. I noticed a guy sitting next to me, which, you know, when I fly on planes, I try to keep to myself and I try to mind my own business. But this guy sitting next to me was kind of unique looking. He had an Almo cap. He had sleeves of tattoos on both arms, which I'm not judging. Okay, it caught my attention how colorful they were and such. And so I'm sitting there and minding my own business and, you know, look, kind of scrolling through my phone to see what's going on. And I felt at that moment the Lord impress upon my heart to begin to talk to him. And how many of you have ever experienced that and you begin a wrestling match with God? You know what I'm saying? Oh, gosh, Lord, no, not now. Lord, I'm tired. I've had a very busy week. I just want to keep to myself and enjoy the flight. And it just was on me. It's like this burden and this gnawing and this impression. So I finally worked up the courage and I kind of made comment about how colorful his leaves were. And he started talking to me. Well, this guy traveled with a lot of heavy metal bands. He was like the drum technician. He's the guy that kind of did a lot of it, set up the drum set for these big name bands. He had told me of some of the bands he had been touring with, like Pantera. And so anyway, so this guy was sitting there and he had showed me videos of, you know, he had just been flying in from Tempe, Arizona. And so we began to talk and somehow, and I can't remember how I turned the conversation toward him and his relationship with God. And he said, dude, wow. He said, it's funny you asked that because, and he started telling me that his mom had been on him to accept Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow, this is confirmation to me that I'm supposed to be talking to him about this. You know, and so he went on and on. He started talking to me about his troubles with his marriage and how, you know, that's kind of had been a little rocky at the time. And so long story short, you know, we kind of exchange email addresses and exchange phone numbers. Finally got his phone number and I texted him once I got home and I sent him a text. I said, Kevin, I said, it was nice meeting you. Let's keep in touch, brother, because I really want to be of help to you and such. And he said, dude, you can't imagine how much this meeting has helped me. So I'm logically thinking, what's my logical thought? This guy's going to accept Jesus Christ. So let's pause the story there and let's get into this story. I'm going to leave you guys hanging. So you better listen because I'm going to finish with what happened, okay? John chapter 1, verse 10 and verses following. He was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. Okay, so this verse in a nutshell says that Jesus came to the world, and what happened? Did the world recognize Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world? They did not. And then he goes on to say, beyond the world, he came to his own. Who were Jesus' own? The Jews. Somebody said, who said it? The Jews. The Jews were Jesus' own. But notice what it says about the Jews. Did the Jews accept him? No, they did not accept him. But then in verse 12, he says, but as many as did receive him, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. So just a little quick side note. Just because you're a human being, does that mean you're a child of God? No. One of these days I'll do a Bible study on what we were before we came to Christ. We were children of wrath, children of darkness, children of this age, children of the devil. So we're here then. So Jesus suffered a lot of rejection. Let's go to chapter 6 of John, please, okay? Chapter 6. Now, I said we're going to look at 5 different circles of followers, because isn't that the command that Jesus gave all of us, has given all of us? Follow me. Well, a lot of people, if you read or peruse through the Gospels, a lot of people follow Jesus. But there are 5 different circles of followers. Now, listen, I'm going to work back from the followers that were not committed. I'm going to work backward from circle number 5, who were not committed followers, to those who were more committed, to those who were closer to the Lord, till we get to number 1, the closest to the Lord. It'll surprise you who was the closest to Jesus. Only one person was the closest to Jesus. Okay? So today we're going to deal with circle 5. We're going to work from, notice the words closer. Thank you, Miss Laura. Notice the C is thicker. The L is not as thick as the C. The O is not as broad as the L. The S is thinner. The E is thinner than the S, and it gets thinned out. You know why it's like that? Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more room there will be. There won't be as many people the closer you get to Jesus. The masses are on the outskirts. They're in circle number 5, which we'll deal with today. And John chapter 6 is a long discourse of Jesus with the Jews. And let me just set it up real quickly. What had happened was Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, not including women and children. So conservatively speaking, we can say that Jesus fed 15,000, at least 15,000 people, when you factor in the women and the children. Is that a fair statement? Spent the night, Jesus praying on a mountaintop. He gets down, encourages his disciples to get in a boat, cross the lake. In the morning, the crowds that had been following him, the crowds that had been fed, realize that Jesus is not there, so they go looking for him. They go following him. And let's begin reading with verse 14 of John chapter 6, please. Verse 14. And I'm going to summarize 71 verses in just 4 points. Isn't that nice of me? Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. Notice what was the agenda of this mass of crowd, mass of people, the thousands, 15,000 conservatively? What was their agenda with Jesus? What did they want to do with Jesus? They wanted to make him an earthly king. You know why? Because at this time, the Jews were under Roman rule. The Romans called the shots. They allowed the Jews to worship their God, to practice their Jewish faith, so long as there were no revolutionaries or insurrectionists among the Jews that were wanting to overthrow Romans' rule from them. Okay? Very important to note. At this time, Israel is under Rome's thumb, basically. But these people had seen enough miracles and the feeding of the 15,000 that they said, well, shoot. If he can perform these miracles, surely he can do something about Rome. And we see already that this is not going good. How many of us have can tell that there are circles today in Christianity that have an agenda about Jesus. Lord, make me wealthy, keep me healthy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Right? And it's all about, Lord, you become my bellhop. Well, how many of us know Jesus is a bellhop to no one? Right? He is Lord of all, and he is King over all. Now, does the Lord bless us with good health? Yes, he does. Does the Lord bless us with healing? Yes, he does. Does the Lord provide for us? Yes, he does. But we can't impose our personal selfish agenda on him, okay? Now, let's go down to verses 22 and 24, please, of John chapter 6. Anybody getting something out of this message thus far? Okay. Notice, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now, though it says they were seeking Jesus, why were they seeking Jesus? What was their agenda? Rome. They wanted to make him king, earthly king by force, so that he could overthrow Rome. All right? Okay. Now, point number one, here's the 4 points I'm going to give you about this crowd. And if you're taking notes, this fifth circle, I would entitle it, these are the masses and other disciples. Jesus, how many of us know that Jesus had more disciples than just the 12? Jesus had more disciples than just the 72. Okay? These were masses of disciples. A lot of people were following him. So number five circled from the, we're working our way from the outside in, okay? These are the least committed followers, the masses and the other disciples. So number one, let's go down to verse 50 and 52 of John chapter 6, and I'm just summarizing all this for you, please. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Okay, what's Jesus doing? Number one, Jesus exposes their superficial followership and their selfish intents of their heart. He said, you're only following me, number one, for the food. Okay? Okay. And then point number two, Jesus challenges them to long for the spiritual and eternal food. Right? Didn't he say that he was the living bread, which is point number three? Jesus himself is the living bread. Let me just summarize it real quick, not to make it complicated. But then Jesus is saying, listen, this is what Jesus is telling them. He said, look, you guys are looking for me because of the handouts, because of the bread, because of the fish, because you have an agenda for me to rescue you from Rome's rule. Now, stop there. Can that work its way into our lives today? Can that selfish agenda spring up in our hearts? It can it? You know, do you realize that a lot of mega churches have hire professional marketing technicians to give them advice? You know, they hire marketers from corporate America to help the church use the right words, the right buzzwords to get people's attention, to focus on the right things, to get their attention, and to have the right form of platform. So we're kind of, looking for revival, advice from the culture for revival in the church. That doesn't make sense to me. Does it to you? I think it's woeful. because we're not heeding the words of Jesus. You know, I hear less and less ministers, even my own pastor, talk about how the way they once did back in the 80s. You're not going to hear messages on hell. Jesus spoke about hell, didn't he? Jesus didn't sugarcoat it, did he? Jesus didn't mitigate it. He didn't soften the reality of hell. Nowadays, you know, we just say, well, you don't want to spend an eternity apart from God. Okay, that's true, but that's not... Jesus went deeper than that. That's right. He spoke more of hell than he did heaven. And he told the people, avoid it at all costs. Because, listen carefully, we're focusing on people's earthly needs. And yes, the Lord meets all of our needs. I want to be clear about that. But the focus has gone from eternity to the temporary. So, do you see how this it's made its way, this fifth circle of followership? So Jesus exposed their selfish, ulterior motives. The reason why they were following him was not because of him. It was because of what he did for them. Number two, Jesus said, strive for, look for, search for the eternal and not the temporary and the fleeting. Number three, Jesus said, I am whom you should be searching for, right? And then number four, as a consequence of these people's lack of focus on what was right, let's see what happens to them. Remember, these were the masses and they were other disciples. Okay, let's go down to verse 60, please. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Uh-oh. Who's ever come to that point in the Word of God that I said, wow, Lord, that's a hard saying. I've said that. Listen, I'll just tell you, that verse about turn the other cheek, that didn't go over in my life. Can I be honest with you? I've read that Bible and then I'd read it the next day hoping it would read differently, but it didn't. You know, sooner or later, friends, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. The closer you get to Jesus, you're going to have to swallow those hard sayings of Jesus. Amen? And keep following, and don't let those hard sayings stop you where you're at with regards to your spiritual proximity to him. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Well, the question is, well, you answer me, church. That those sayings of Jesus offend these masses and other disciples? They did. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Another translation says, they stopped following him. Wow. They stopped following him. Why? Were they after following him to begin with? No. What were they following after? Power. They were following after bread. What's that? That's right. Absolutely. They stopped following him. That was the consequence. That's point number four. Point number one, Jesus exposes their superficial heart intentions. Jesus challenges point number two, for them to long for the spiritual and eternal, not the temporary and the fleeting. Point number three, Jesus himself is the living bread that we are to partake of. And number four, these people's followership dropped out. Okay, so let me close with Kevin. The plane was descending into Peoria, and we were talking, and I had a lot of hope for him, you know, that he would come to Christ, because that's what I felt nudged for. So, you know, I attempted to keep in touch with him. And initially, for about a week or two, he exchanged, you know, we exchanged emails. And I said, how's your marriage doing? And so on and so forth. But after that, I did not hear from Kevin at all. I sent text messages. I sent emails to Kevin. And he just did not respond. You know why? Looking back, I think that he was more interested in me as a preacher helping him with this marriage than me as a preacher or as a follower of Jesus Christ helping him to lead him to a better life through Christ. Now, am I all about mending marriages? Absolutely. But what's more important, brother, for you to have a good marriage on earth and then go to hell, or for you to, you know what I'm saying? I think too many people are stuck with the temporary. Friends, we should be looking after Jesus. No turning back. I have decided the world behind us, the cross before us. No turning back.